If the New Orleans Saints want to pull off a massive upset against the Tampa Bay Buccaneers, they're going to need premier play from three premier players. We got all that and a little bit of Lanyap for you on today's episode of Locked On Saints.
You are Locked On Saints, your daily New Orleans Saints podcast, part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.
What is good, Houdat Nation and Houdat family? Welcome into another episode of Locked On Saints, your daily podcast covering your favorite team, the New Orleans Saints, part of Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day. Thanks so much, as always, making Locked On Saints your first listen of the day every day. Don't forget, we're free and available on all podcast apps and on YouTube as well. And I'm your host, Ross Jackson, at Ross Jackson NOLA on Twitter, your New Orleans Saints expert, credential member of the media, CrescentCitySports.com, USA Today, Saints Wire, Tuesdays on Locked On NFL, and here with you every single Monday through Friday on Locked On Saints. Today's episode is brought to you by our friends over at Prize Picks Daily Fantasy, made the way that it should be. All you got to do is pick 2 to 5 players, choose whether or not they're going to commit more or less than their Prize Picks projection. You get those right, you win up to 10 times your entry. And of course, if you are a first-time user, you can utilize promo code Locked On, so you can get a 10% welcome bonus up to $100. That's a 10% deposit match up to $100. Tell you more about Prize Picks later. But today, we're taking a look at a game day episode here with the Monday Night Football matchup between the New Orleans Saints and the Tampa Bay Buccaneers. Tried to do it live. Hotel Wi-Fi is absolutely terrible. This is probably the worst hotel Wi-Fi I've ever had. Thanks, Hilton. And so when we look at this one, I'm going to just record it and then get it posted up for you as quickly as possible. But thanks everybody that did try to tune in for the live show on YouTube. And do still feel free to chime in here throughout the day, whether through the YouTube comments or over Twitter, because I do want to hear about you, hear from you throughout this episode or throughout this matchup today, because we've got three big things we're going to discuss. We're going to get to the Saints' biggest kind of key X factor of this game. We're going to get to the most important key to a win for the New Orleans Saints. But first, I want to start with the biggest matchup. So for each of these, I'm going to ask you the question, and I hope to hear back from you, whether it be on the comments or on Twitter at Ross Jackson NOLA or in the Locked On Saints Facebook group, which I'm back in and can join and talk now. I've been banned or I had lost access to all my like Facebook stuff. But you can join that again over at facebook.com/groups/Locked On Saints. Talk to listeners, talk to me, all of that. But anyway, let's start off with the biggest matchup here. And looking forward to hearing what your biggest matchups are. Mine, though, come down to whoever is guarding. It really is both Mike Evans and Chris Godwin. Mike Evans is the more fun one to talk about because I like to poke fun at him and his, you know, talk about kind of the relationship between he and his father figure in Marshawn Lattimore, if anybody's a Toby Nwigwe fan out there. But I think that the big thing really does come down to those two because of, you don't want to give Tom Brady the outlet, right? Tom Brady, undeniably like the greatest quarterback to ever do it, all those other things, I know. But the big piece around making sure that he feels like frustrated and feels very kind of overwhelmed is by not giving him the outlets. And so if you're able to take away and disrupt the timing of a Mike Evans, you're able to take away and disrupt the timing of a Chris Godwin, and you get those guys off sync from their quarterback and Tom Brady, then you're forcing Tom Brady to pick up the slack and to make up for it. That frustrates him. That ends up disrupting everything in terms of what that offense wants to do. That Tampa Bay offense is one that can run the ball for sure, but they're mostly one that wants to be able to win through the air, or they're an offense that wants to be able to win through the air because they have, you know, a quarterback that wants to be able to do that. So I think that when you are considering how to limit Tom Brady, what you're really talking about is how do you limit the pieces that are around him? How do you keep him from having kind of places to go with the ball? So you start by taking away the run game, right? Leonard Fournette, you limit the run game, Rashad White, all that. But the next piece is to just make sure that Tom Brady isn't able to go off for you and then, or go off on you and end up being the guy that leads the team all the way to like certain victory or whatever. So whoever the corners are that are lining up opposite Mike Evans and Chris Godwin, they become incredibly important. Now we'll see if it's Marshawn Lattimore, right? We hope that Marshawn Lattimore is able to be back out there across from his son and Mike Evans and be able to go up against them. He's questionable going into the game though. And when asked about whether or not we would see Marshawn this week, Dennis Allen told us we'll see, right? So they're looking at him sort of as a game time decision in this one. Came back to practice last week, has been limited in every practice since then, kind of reminiscent of Jarvis Landry, who returned to practice before the Pittsburgh Steelers game, actually played in that Pittsburgh Steelers game, but has been limited ever since he returned to practice. I think you're going to pretty much see Marshon Lattimore limited for the rest of practice as well, because the guy did have a lacerated kidney after all. So there's a lot to consider in all that. This isn't just like an ankle injury, or I don't want to say just an ankle injury, but this isn't just like a tweak or something, or like a twist or anything like that. Like, he had a big issue there. So if he's able to make it back out onto the field, then that's fantastic. And all eyes are going to be on him and Mike Evans in that case. The last time that these two guys met up, they both ended up getting ejected from the game. That was earlier this season, week 2 in the Superdome, and then ended up changing the entire dynamic of the game. I mean, all of a sudden, then Tampa was able to get on the scoreboard. They were able to move the ball through the air, things that they weren't necessarily doing when Marshawn and Mike Evans were in there. So that ends up being a big part of this game, I believe, is can you limit those guys on the outside? If Lattimore isn't able to go, then you still have had great play from Paulson Adebo here over recent weeks. He's gotten better as he's gotten healthier. One of the nicest dudes in the entire world too, by the way. So the aggressiveness that he plays with is real, like flipping a switch, like the type of mentality that you want to have on the field. And then you have the incredibly confident Alante Taylor, who's over on the other side, who has been balling out all throughout his rookie season. I think you probably can say he had his, I'm going to use this phrase very loosely, worst game last week against the San Francisco 49ers in terms of completion percentage allowed, things like that. But that's relative to what has been a remarkably successful season so far for Alante Taylor. So saying worst is, it doesn't really mean anything in this context. So he's been outstanding. Paulson Adebo has gotten better and better and better. He is outstanding. And then you could potentially get Marshon Lattimore back. So that matchup, or whatever that set of matchups ends up being, Lattimore on Evans, or Adebo on Evans, Taylor on Godwin, or Adebo on Godwin, I just hope that the Saints do start Taylor on the outside one way or another, right? Like, if Paulson Adebo is there, if Marshon Lattimore is there, I could see them going with Paulson Adebo and Marshon Lattimore, honestly. But you want to see Alante Taylor get out on the field. I mean, the guy had what should have been his first interception last year. It doesn't look like Bradley Roby is going to play tonight. And so with that, like, how do you get Alante Taylor involved if Marshon Lattimore is out there? That's going to be really interesting to watch, because that's effectively your future secondary moving forward if you're the New Orleans Saints. So do you put Alante Taylor in the slot, something he hasn't done but for 40 snaps in his entire playing career, deep with Paulson Adebo in the slot, or do you just rest on the laurels of the additional player, right, of having that depth at corner in case you need it, in case Marshon Lattimore's injury resurfaces, or it ends up being a big deal, or he's not able to play up to the level that he wants to be able to, or that the Saints want him to play in? There's a lot of different ways that you could still see Alante Taylor get involved, but it's going to be a really interesting question that the Saints are going to have to answer. And it's a good problem, right? It's a good problem to have if you are a New Orleans Saints fan, and B, if you are the New Orleans Saints. So that's the big matchup that I'm going to be watching in all of this one, is how do the New Orleans Saints end up limiting the weapons over on the outside? And like I said, it's not limited to just the weapons on the outside. You got to get the run game stopped. You got to keep the Tampa Bay Buccaneers one dimensional, so that you're forcing Tom Brady to have to pick up the slack and make up for, you know, what they're not able to get done over on that side of the ball. So that's going to be a big part of what we're watching. But then the next piece becomes, how do you get after Tom Brady? How do you continue to impact or affect Tom Brady throughout this game while also taking away those weapons? That's where the biggest and most important key to a win comes for the New Orleans Saints. And I'll tell you why Cameron Jordan is a huge part of that. We got that coming up for you as we continue on with today's episode of Locked On Saints. Today's episode of Locked On Saints is brought to you by Total Wines and More. This holiday season, Total Wines and More is the absolute place that you need to go, because you're going to be able to find whatever it is that you're looking for. So there's so many great bottles for you to choose from. It's easy to find your new favorite, let's say, like single barrel bourbons, or if you're a fan of Uncle Nearest like me, you can find it over at Total Wines and More. There's one over in Metairie for you to check out as well. And you'll be able to go with all of the confidence in the world that you're going to be able to find something special for at the lowest price. You're going to find what you love, and you'll love what you find every day over at Total Wine and More. You can head over to TotalWine.com right now to learn more. Spirits are not sold in Virginia or North Carolina. Drink responsibly. And of course, B21. You want to stay safe. You want to stay safe, especially if you're going over to Total Wines and More and enjoying all of their variety and everything that they have to offer. So stay safe. And you can also stay safe at home but their friends over at Simply Safe. Let me tell you about Simply Safe, because at here at Locked On Saints, we believe that when it comes to your family, the way that you feel, your security, all of that, that it should be a number one priority, especially over the course of the holidays. This season, give your family the gift of peace and protection with the number one rated home security system, Simply Safe. Yes, it's awesome. And right now, Simply Safe is offering you, Locked On Saints listeners, a 40% off opportunity here on a new security system. So don't put this off. It is awesome. I love using Simply Safe. I use it because I travel so much. As y'all know, I'm literally like out of town right now. And I use it because I want to make sure that obviously the home is safe, all of that. But I also don't want like my packages getting stolen. Hello, New Orleans and all that. So I've got my, you know, I've got my camera and everything to be able to watch and all that good stuff. So it's nice to kind of have that peace of mind, even when I'm not at home. And right now, actually, Simply Safe was named the best home security system of 2022 by US News and World Report. It's actually for a third year in a row. So you don't want to miss your chance to get my favorite home security system and your, what will become your favorite home security system as well over at Simply Safe. You're going to get 40% off of any new system at simplysafe.com/lockedonNFL today. Remember, that's simplisafe.com/lockedonNFL. So there's no safe like Simply Safe. All right, family, continuing on with today's episode of Locked On Saints. Diving in now to the biggest key factor for the New Orleans Saints. So we discussed kind of the biggest matchups and, you know, that Saints secondary versus the, we'll just call them Tampa Bay Buccaneers pass catchers, because we're not necessarily fully sure who's playing for the Saints today or tonight. We should get that information probably around inactives, which is usually an hour and a half. But the next piece is that we look at what kind of the biggest key is kind of as a whole, right? This other element. So part of it is taking away those matchups or winning those matchups, but what's that kind of next layer, right? How do you take that second level to be able to get it done? So that's what we're going to be breaking down here. We appreciate you so much for making Locked On Saints your first listen of the day, every day. Don't forget, for your second listen today, make sure you go check out Locked On Sports today. You can get all of the biggest stories around the world of sports and all, of course, the Locked On local experts giving you the insight, local insight, only the way that we here at Locked On can provide. So go and check it out on this app, YouTube, or wherever you get your podcast. So for the Saints, there is taking away those pass catchers, taking away those, you know, Mike Evans, Chris Godwin, those big name receivers, all that. But for the Saints too, the other piece here is going to be getting pressure on Tom Brady. There's a huge difference in the performance of Tom Brady under pressure and not under pressure. The issue for most teams is that Tom Brady hasn't been under pressure a lot. Only 18.3% of his snaps have been pressured. 81.7% have been kept clean. So it's not very often that he ends up feeling that pressure. But when he does, his completion percentage drops from 70.4 to 42.3. His passer rating drops from 99.1 to 55.1. The only two interceptions that he has thrown so far this season actually came when he was kept clean, not when he was under pressure. But all 14 of his touchdowns were also thrown when he was clean. He has not yet thrown a touchdown while under pressure. So there is a big time drop off in terms of who Tom Brady is when he's kept clean and when he has time to kind of watch everything unfold in front of him. And then when he is getting pressured, unlike a guy like Joe Burrow, right, who handles pressure extremely well. A guy like Jimmy Garoppolo, who usually doesn't, but managed to last week. So you don't want to see Tom Brady to kind of, you don't want to see him like get right up against the New Orleans Saints at all. But that is what you're looking for, right? Can you get that pressure on him? And part of getting the pressure on him is not just getting the sack within the first 3 to 4 seconds after the snap. It's getting a sack, getting sacks 4 to 6 seconds into snaps because the defense on the secondary is holding up. And we've seen that a lot for the New Orleans Saints. They're not really a team, with the exception of like a couple of plays, they're not really a team that has won off the line of scrimmage immediately off the edge and gets into the backfield and gets a sack on the quarterback. Aside from when they bring DeMario Davis, that's not really the type of pressure team that they are. They are a big, strong, leveraging, pressure team to where they want their edge rushers to be edge defenders, and they want to push offensive linemen back into the laps of quarterbacks, and they want to fight through reps and win late. That's what it is that this team has always been when it comes to pass rushers. They've never been one of those, you know, speed rush teams. So the symbiotic nature between the pass rush and the coverage becomes so important, not just on the coverage side, because if you get pressure on the quarterback, then the quarterback, you know, his completion percentage drops, his passer rating drops, in this case with Tom Brady. But also, if your secondary is holding up, then all of a sudden your pass rush is getting home. So that becomes kind of the cyclical nature of how to win over on the defensive side in this game. And it's a lot like what we discussed on Friday in terms of, you know, what it will take for the Saints to get a win in this situation. But really, the way that we're breaking this down today is looking at like those key matchups, as well as, of course, this important kind of key to the win. So that what you're looking for here are going to be, can, you know, Marcus Davenport and Cam Jordan win off of the edges? How is Donovan Smith playing for the Tampa Bay Buccaneers over on the left side? Tristan Wirfs is going to be out over on the right side, I believe. And so with that being the case, can you confuse the offensive line that is really just kind of patchwork for the Tampa Bay Buccaneers right now? And Cam Jordan knows, right? He's like staring down the barrel of that franchise sack record right now, just about three or four sacks away, just about a handful of sacks away now. And so, or less than a handful of sacks away now. So, you know, he's, look, break that record or break the record against Tom Brady or get closer and then break it against the Atlanta Falcons next week at home in the dome. Like, both are dope. So I think that there's like a little bit of that motivation. This team should also be a little bit motivated by, speaking of the Atlanta Falcons, they lost to the Pittsburgh Steelers, meaning that if the Saints win this game tonight against Tampa Bay Buccaneers, then all of a sudden they leap into second place in the NFC South, which is just nuts, by the way. I mean, we would be talking about a 5-8 team that's just behind a 5-7 team where there's no tiebreaker involved going into the last four games or last 5 weeks of a season. That's absolutely insane and not the way that we thought that this division would roll out. But hey, here they are. And so if that's the case, and if that's another motivating factor, then great, let it be a motivating factor. If the Saints don't win this game, we'll continue to cover the games that they're going to be playing. But trust, we will be taking a little bit more of a future approach as we look forward. The Saints win this game, they go from an 8% playoff chance to a 24% playoff chance. If they lose this game, they drop to like less than a percent. So this is a big game for the New Orleans Saints, and it's the people that feel that pressure the most are the leaders, guys like Cam Jordan, guys like DeMario Davis, these players that are going to be the key pressure players for the New Orleans Saints defense going up against Tom Brady. So that is the most important key to me, along with the matchups that you're watching on the defensive side. You're trying to get pressure on Tom Brady. We've talked about how important it is to frustrate him as well, and the Saints have always done a very good job of doing that. So we'll see if they're able to continue that in what should be another wild, wild, weird game in Raymond James Stadium, as they so often are. All right, coming up next, Saints' most important X factor in this game. Who has the real ability to make a big-time impact in this matchup? I'm actually going to give you two, but I want to hear yours as well, so make sure you drop them in the comments and make sure you let me know at Ross Jackson Nola on Twitter. Today's episode is brought to you by our friends over at Prize Picks. Prize Picks is the daily fantasy destination that you should be heading to immediately. Like, don't even wait, right? Takes you about 60 seconds to put in an entry. 60 seconds, all you got to do is pick 2 to 5 players, choose whether they're going to come in at more or less or higher or lower than their Prize Picks projections. You get that right, and then all of a sudden you can be winning 10 times your entry. It's you versus the house. It's you and your football knowledge, your knowledge of the game, your knowledge of the players, your knowledge of the matchups, all of that scheme, all those things that you know and that you study and that you love about the game of football. It's you versus the house. It's you utilizing all that knowledge. It's not you versus millions of different lineups all vying for the same pool of money so that you could potentially win $3.61. No, it's not about that. You can actually win 10 times your deposit using this. And as a matter of fact, or 10 times your entry, as a matter of fact, when it comes to your deposit, that's where Prize Picks is just different, right? They're just built different. They will give you a 100% instant deposit match of up to $100 just for using the promo code Locked On if you're a new user. That's it. All you gotta do is punch in that promo code Locked On, and then you put down $100, they'll match $100. You put down $50, they'll match $50. You get the way that numbers work. It's Prize Picks. Head over there today on the Prize Picks app or at prizepicks.com. Don't forget to use that promo code Locked On for a 100% instant deposit match of up to $100. Let's get it, Houdat Nation. Wrapping up today's episode of Locked On Saints with our look at the biggest X factor in this matchup for the New Orleans Saints as they travel to Tampa to take on the Tampa Bay Buccaneers. Now, like I said, I'm actually going to give you two here because I'm having fun out here in Florida. So I'm going to give you two. If you have ones that differ, if you have ones that are the same, whatever it is, just make sure that you share them with me. You can leave them in a comment or you can write me on Twitter at Ross Jackson Nola, or of course that Facebook group that I told you about, facebook.com/groups/LockedOnSaints. My first X factor for this game is without a doubt 100% Taysom Hill. And you might have just scoffed when you heard me say that, because you know I've been talking about Taysom Hill for the past like few weeks. But what do we know, right? What do we know? We know that when Taysom sees 10 or more snaps for the New Orleans Saints at quarterback, they tend to, anybody? Anybody? Yeah, you got it. Win games. You got it. It's that simple, right? Now, of course, that's more like correlation than it is causation, anything like that. It's not something we can look at and say, okay, well, just give him 10 snaps at quarterback, and then all of a sudden the Saints are going to win a game. Of course, it's not that simple. But they're 3-1 when he does, 17 snaps, and then he's got three more games where he played 11 snaps or more at quarterback. Last week up against the San Francisco 49ers, he played 9. There was your problem. No, I'm just joking. There were a lot of different problems when it came to the Saints there. But the reason I think that Taysom Hill is so important to this matchup and this game plan is that if the Saints ran back their game plan from last year when they won 9-0 with Dennis Allen at head coach and Taysom Hill at quarterback, doesn't mean that Taysom Hill has to be the full-time quarterback in this game, but I'm just saying if they ran back a similar game plan to where they played kind of this like rugby style of ball control and time of possession and all that kind of keep away, if they played that same game plan, I wouldn't be mad at it at all tonight. I mean, like, you know it works. You know it works, right? You've done it before. You've done it in that environment before and all that. Now, that means that you need the defense to play up to the standards that the defense should have. I thought the defense played extremely well against the San Francisco 49ers last week. To me, the defense wasn't the story. The offense was, or the lack of offense was the story. And so I think that if you went in and you played a very similar game plan, then you could potentially walk away with a surprise victory here. And sure, it'd be boring for Monday Night Football to have another 9-0 type of a game or a 9-6 kind of LSU Alabama of old matchup. But you know what? You'll take it if you're a Saints fan. You'll take it if you're the New Orleans Saints. And so that's what I would look for. And I wonder just how much Taysom Hill is going to have the ball in his hands tonight, because I think that he deserves to have it. I think that he deserves the opportunity. And I don't necessarily mean, and understand when I say that, I'm talking about all of the roles that he plays. I'm not just talking about him being a quarterback, because I know people get really like antsy about that and everything. What I'm saying, though, is that in any way that you can find a way to get the ball in Taysom Hill's hands, if he's proving effective in this game, then lean on that and utilize that. So we'll see how the Saints manage kind of the Andy Dalton, Taysom Hill split. Or even not even just a split between the two of them, but how often they find a way to utilize Taysom Hill and get the ball in his hands. But I think that ends up being a key, and he ends up being an X factor for the team because he gives them a lot of juice on the offensive side. He can build momentum really well, especially with the style of plays that he makes. This is, again, a situation just like against the Las Vegas Raiders. There's so many injuries on the Tampa Bay Buccaneers secondary. So you not only want to challenge them in the passing game, but you want to challenge their run discipline as well, the perimeter run defense, and Taysom Hill getting around a corner, Alvin Kamara getting around a corner even. Those guys have the opportunity to challenge that secondary that's not used to being in those positions as tacklers in the run game and all that. So I wouldn't be surprised to see the Saints attack with Taysom Hill, wouldn't be surprised to see the Saints attack with the outside run, and I think that they would be smart to do so. The next X factor, and I know he's been dealing with a back injury, and so we'll definitely have to watch, but my bold prediction for this game, without a doubt, is that Rashid Shaheed scores a special teams touchdown. If you've been watching the games here recently, Rashid Shaheed has been closer and closer and closer pretty much since the Pittsburgh Steelers game, right? Pittsburgh Steelers game, I talked to him after the game. I was like, man, it felt like you were inches away. And he was like, yeah. And I talked to him about it. He said, like, the game is slowing down. He's really starting to see, like, the lanes and everything, and the blockers are doing a great job. Everything was kind of coming together during that. And then as the weeks went on, you saw him get closer and closer and closer, right? And so Rashid Shaheed, who has no injury designation, dealing with back injury, he was limited all week, no injury designation, so he should be good to go tonight. I think he could be a big-time X-factor for this team as well. And I'm not limiting him to just the special team side, by the way. He could be an X-factor by catching another deep touchdown catching another deep pass for a touchdown or some jet sweep. You know, the things that they've found that they can do with him. And we saw him get pretty involved against the San Francisco 49ers, so I'll be interested to see how they also find a way to get the ball in his hands, especially if they're able to do it over the middle of the field, hitting him in stride and allowing him to take advantage of that space and turn into a returner, start to pick up the yards after catch kind of stuff. If you can use him kind of similarly to how the San Francisco 49ers use Brandon Ayuk, for instance, then all of a sudden you start to see where the vision of a Rashid Shaheed becomes more than a vision and becomes a reality. Plus you have the return ability. So I'm looking for Rashid Shaheed to have a big day today as an X factor. Doesn't mean he goes over 100 yards. could simply mean that he ends up just putting the Saints in positive field position consistently every time that he gets the opportunity in both the punt and kick return game, and that he has a big catch. Like, that's enough for me. But I do think that those things right there are more than enough for the New Orleans Saints to kind of feel that jolt and get that energy that they have been missing, and particularly over on the special team side. And he's getting closer and closer and closer. So we'll see. We'll see if he's able to get it done. You also, you know, look for Andy Dalton and Chris Olave to find their connection again during this game. Get Jarvis Landry a little bit more involved than he was against the San Francisco 49ers. All of that as well. That all ends up being big. So you have other X factors. You have other big matchups that you're watching. You have other keys that you're watching for this game. Make sure that you let me know in all of the avenues that we've described here so far today. Don't forget, we've got the postcast, which will happen late night. So it'll be right after all of the media availability and stuff. The game will end. I'll go and do locker room and press conferences, head back up to one of the booths and just go live. And so we'll do our postcast around 10 to 15 minutes, be a little bit shorter than our usual ones, just because it'll be so late. And then I'll get the full episode recorded and then get that ready to come out for you on Tuesday morning. So that will come out a little bit later, particularly over on the video side. I just don't want to publish it at night when you're all asleep, right? So I'll have it ready for you in the morning in that way. So make sure that you are keeping it locked here on the Locked On Saints podcast for all of that. Appreciate you, as always, making me a part of your day, part of your routine, and for, of course, making me your first listen of the day every day. Don't forget, for your second listen, to go and check out Locked On Sports today. Get caught up on everything that you missed around the world of sports this weekend over with Locked On Sports today, available on the Odyssey app, YouTube, or wherever you get your podcasts. And once again, I appreciate you so much making me a part of your day, part of your routine, for saying yes to me and the show. If you see me, if you're out in Tampa, you see me, say hi. And don't forget, as always, if you need anything else around your New Orleans Saints in between these episodes, make sure you follow me on Twitter at Ross Jackson, NOLA. Hit me up. Let me know how the family's doing. Let me know how you're living. Let me know how you're momming them. And trust you, that nation, I'll holla at you.